K, which is starting right now.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hola, waka, chakma. All across the tundra, I'm also shouting out as far as the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, speaking out for KYUK, and this is Coffee at KYUK. Lower Kuskokwim School District Superintendent Kimberly Hankins is here this morning to provide another update on school reopenings and an update on the replacement school in Nepakiak. She joins KYUK reporter Greg Kim.
Thank you, Grady, and good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Greg.
I just want to start off this morning with a recap of the past few weeks. The Lower Kuskokwim School District started allowing elementary school students, high school seniors, and some other high-need students back into classrooms starting a few weeks ago, and each school site kind of opened on their own schedule, and some communities that have cases of COVID-19 have chosen not to reopen. I imagine, though, that nearly all the schools that plan to reopen this time around have done so. Is that correct, Kimberly? And are there any more updates on the school reopening front?
Yeah, great recap. So last week we had 11 schools reopen, which brought our total to 21 sites that have welcomed students back to in-person learning. We have a handful of remaining sites that are opening today. And then, as you stated, we do have four village schools that are remaining closed due to COVID cases and the wishes of local councils. So, of course, I remain really hopeful that the recent spike in COVID cases in those communities can be contained, that it is being contained, that we'll be able to see a drop in cases in the next couple of weeks, thus allowing those schools to open as well. But as we navigate that, you know, as always, we'll stay in touch with our site administrator in each community and then also with tribal administrator and in some communities, the COVID task force. We did have – oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry, go ahead.
You know, I did hear from one school in particular this last week, sort of their opening, welcoming students back story, and it was really uplifting. They indicated that for K through 6, they had 95% of families elect for a return to in-person school. And that just seeing students back in the classrooms and in the building really lifted the morale of the staff. And really, I'm hearing those stories from all across our district. So this particular site, of course, is utilizing the hybrid model and then bringing in small groups of students 7 through 12. And so the administrator here just reported that they're feeling really optimistic after one weekend and very hopeful. And I think that's a theme we're seeing throughout our schools that have welcomed students back, is just this sense of hope that we have sort of made our way through the worst of the pandemic, and that over the next many weeks we might, you know, be able to welcome even more students back. We're certainly hoping that that's the case.
And this is kind of an impromptu ask, but would you have the number, how many communities within LKSD have opened up schools at this point?
Yeah, 21. We have 21 schools open.
Mm-hmm. Out of the 28 communities, or is it 27?
We have 29 schools total. So as of last Friday, 21 were open, 4 remain closed, and then the rest are slated to open today.
I see.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, you know, while many students have returned to classrooms, the bulk of students in grades 7 through 11 remain in remote learning. YKHC is recommending that these students can return to school when cases have fallen in the LKSD subregions, which I think some people are still not super clear on. There are two LKSD subregions, one around Bethel and one around the coast, and YKHC is saying when cases fall in these two subregions, that's when LKSD could, you know, consider returning students in those grades 7 through 11. Now, you've probably been following case counts in these regions a little closer than I have. I've been kind of more looking at the entire region, entire Waikiki Delta region. Can you talk about those 7th through 11th grade students, maybe give an update? Has remote learning changed at all for them? And then also when they could potentially go back to school?
Yeah, great, sure. So you're right. We are looking at LKSD as two subregions currently. So that's a shift. Back in mid-February, YKHC, when they provided their updated formal recommendations to school districts, which was on February 17th, they also included new guidance for looking at their service region instead of as one group or one large service region in sub-regions. So in total, I think they have 6 sub-regions now that they're looking at. So for LKSD, our schools fall into 2 of those. Of course, we have villages centered in the Bethel sub-region and then Tuxuk Bay and around their sub-regional clinic. In terms of keeping track of data, we do monitor that daily here in the leadership team, keep abreast of numbers, and YKHC gives us a formal update every Monday. So where we are currently is that our 2 subregions still technically, due to cases, are both in high risk or high transmission, if you look at the CDC or the chart that YKHC included in their updated guidance. We have welcomed back, per the LKSD board direction, we have welcomed back groups of students 7-12. And so this looks a little different based on the community because the board gave direction to administration to look at and really work with our principals within each community to look at, you know, what is the student enrollment, what is the current vaccination rate of the community, what are the current COVID case counts, and then how do we best meet the needs of the students. So here in Bethel so far, BRHS has welcomed back seniors. Beginning today, they are welcoming back 9th graders. In some of our smaller village communities, such as Osterville and McCoryuk, they have been able to bring in all 7th through 12th. And McCoryuk, of course, you know, YKHC provides updated vaccination rate data in their situational report weekly. And McCoryuk has about 96% of their population vaccinated. And so they've been able to bring in all 7th, 12th on that hybrid model, similar to pre-K 6. So that's sort of where we are with that. It does look different. We've had other villages bring back students 7-12 based on a family group at a time. So, again, that's kind of our smaller sites. You know, one family might come in Monday morning, a different one Monday afternoon, a student 7-12. So it really does look different. I mean, we know that LKSD is vast, and each of our sites is unique and different in needs.
Okay, just to recap, we heard previously that McCoryuk was allowing students K through 12, you know, because of their unique, you know, they have incredible vaccination rates, 97%, I believe, and that's amazing. So that makes sense. And then you mentioned Oscarville as another site where they've opened up K through 12. And then you've mentioned Bethel, 9th grade students are returning today. That's kind of the most interesting to me. This next question I'm only asking just to get a sense of what we can expect, but what's that logic behind 9th graders returning, and does that mean that 10th, 11th, 8th, 7th graders would return soon thereafter?
Yeah, great question. And so talking with the BRHS administrator, after following the board direction given, the March 3rd meeting, you know, we had a good conversation about getting seniors back into the building quickly, and then looking at student data and identifying which group of students really is the most at risk right now for BRHS. And so she wanted to start Mrs. Miner with bringing those students in, hence 9th graders are coming back today. And I don't have a number for you, Greg, on how many. I do know that not all 9th graders opted to return to in person, but I could certainly get that and provide it for you for next Monday.
Okay, so am I hearing that ninth grade was just particularly having some struggle with remote learning? Is that what you're saying?
So in looking at the data, yes, it was identified that Mrs. Miner, who is the site administrator at BRHS, felt that that made the most sense to bring ninth grade in following the seniors.
I see. I want to move on to spring break must be mm-hmm. coming up. What date is that, and what kind of rules are there going to be for students and teachers who travel for spring break?
Sure. Most of our communities have already had their spring break, including Bethel Schools. But what we did is we, as a district, updated our guidance for staff in the beginning of March and broke it out travel out of the Delta but within Alaska and travel out of state. Of course, if anyone's going out of state, they're encouraged to follow the state of Alaska health advisories and travel advisories. For travel out of state and out of the Delta, of course, if you're vaccinated, the current guidance is to take a COVID test at the Bethel Airport upon arrival. And then if you're vaccinated, you may go back to work, but social distance. If you're not vaccinated, then to take a test and then to quarantine for those full 14 days. We are still sticking with the 14 days because we do know that it can take up to 14 days for symptom onset following exposure. So we want to just be really safe, especially now with our students coming back. We want to make sure we can maintain our facilities being open.
I see. So this is just a slight change from maybe breaks in past where because there's a lot of vaccinated people, those mm-hmm. vaccinated people won't have to quarantine upon arrival.
Right. And so really it's nice in that we can keep schools open, that folks who are vaccinated can come back, follow a testing protocol, and then go to work and social distance.
Great. And then looking ahead to graduation, what kind of ceremonies can we expect for our seniors this year? Is there a chance for in-person ceremonies in communities where seniors are doing in-person school?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are currently working to answer that. So as a leadership team, we're looking over the most recent CDC guidance for events and gatherings. We've also been looking at the guidance that YKHC released on March 10th for communities. And then also looking at guidance from the state and from DHSS. So we aim to put together ceremony parameters in the next 2 weeks, so I'd be happy to circle back to that one. I will say that, I can envision, based on vaccination rates and having some family groups, small family groups, but again, we want to also make sure we're working with our tribes. So I think there's a lot to coordinate for that. So again, I'd be happy to circle back.
Gotcha. And then I imagine the answer would be pretty similar for prom.
Yes. Yes.
And then I want to switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
You wanted to provide an update on Nepauquiac, where river erosion is currently threatening the school. Every year the river gets closer and closer to the school. In 2019, LKSD had to move the fuel tanks by the school. Can you start off just giving us a picture of what the erosion situation looks like in Nepauquiac?
Yes. So over the past 10 years or so, the rate of erosion in Nepauquiac has steadily increased to its current rate, which is about 90 feet per year. And that doesn't include exceptional storms that have taken even more of the riverbank. So we're at a point now that the Kuskokwim River sits approximately 97 feet from the school, 90 feet from school infrastructure, and about 15 feet from school property. So the district every year applies for funding from the state for capital improvement projects for school construction grant fund. Currently, the Nepauquiac School ranks number 4 on this year's what's called the CIP list. So it does not look promising to get funded for this year for a new school. So with that in mind, the board has had numerous conversations, I'd say over at least the past year, of taking some next steps and what the district can do to help with this what's becoming more and more of a crisis for the community. And so at the last board meeting, the special meeting last Tuesday, the board did take action to fund the what we call the Nepakiak Pad and Pile project, which is a foundation project for the new school. Last summer, the community of Nepakiak, working with several different entities, was able to extend the road at the far end of the community by almost a mile and put in the gravel, new gravel road and new gravel parking lot and area where the school, the new school will be constructed. So my hats are off to them for getting that done. So we're able to now begin the next part of that, which is that foundation project. So the board is looking to, I guess they did vote to fund that using district funds since we will not be getting awarded the project through the CIP process this year.
Okay, well, I just want to summarize a little bit. It sounds like normally LKSD school building projects would be funded by the state. And, you know,
yes.
LKSD has applied many years prior to looking ahead at this erosion to get a replacement school funded by the state. But the state funds school building projects based on certain criteria, and it sounds like for whatever reason they're not weighting the risk of a school falling into the river high enough to put Nepakiak School number one on their list.
Correct. So we are number four.
Mm-hmm. Right. So for this year, because the state isn't funding the Nepakiak replacement school, LKSD is planning on starting the project basically with its own money. So starting the foundation with its own money.
Correct.
And that is one, because obviously, you know, you said 90 something feet from the school. So obviously there's a huge risk there, but also, building some of the foundation already will make the state more likely to fund the project in the next year. Is that right?
You're right, yes. So two things. There are two benefits to this move. One, we get started on the school. And, of course, everything we do, so we're funding as a district, and the aim, of course, is to be reimbursed for those funds through the CIP process when the entire project does get funded. So we get to start the project, which is desperately needed. And then also when we resubmit our application for funding for next year, we will be able to score higher in this category of what the district has contributed or done so far to address the problem. You're right in that the applications are scored. There's sort of a formula-driven scoring system, and one of the components is unhoused students. So we didn't score very high in unhoused students because currently, as it stands, none of the students are unhoused and we don't have overcrowding in the school. The case we were trying to make, of course, is that we will have unhoused students because we're going to need to look also not only at the foundation project but also about the safety and the next steps in terms of taking the school down as the river approaches and it becomes a greater safety issue.
Yeah, and it seems lucky in a way that LKSD is a large school district, in that LKSD has a larger budget than some other school districts, so that it could fund a school foundation project on its own.
Right. So we are looking to use unreserved funds for this project, again, and the ultimate goal is to make sure we are reimbursed for those funds over time as DEED eventually does fund the project.
Right. Do you think a smaller school district would struggle more in this situation and not be able to pay for a foundation project out of its pocket in the expectation that it'll be reimbursed?
You know, I think that's fair to say, yes, because in general, a smaller district would have a smaller budget. So in a way, we are fortunate to be able to afford this project and to take these steps on our own because they are really needed.
Right. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this morning, Kimberly. Thank you so much for providing an update on both these issues this morning.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to LKSD Superintendent Kimberly Hankins discuss updates on school reopenings and the Nepauquiac School Replacement Erosion Issue. She'll be back here this Wednesday on Coffee at KYUK with another guest, and we'll be discussing the district's efforts to improve students' safety and protect them from sexual abuse. You're listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm Greg Kim. Back to you, Grady.
Thanks. So since Greg already gave the promo, all I got to say is don't forget to be awesome to each other.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.